This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of July of the year 2014. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 6. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." And the title for this message is, "And a Child Shall Lead Them, Another View." And this is part two. A message that was started last month. This is part two of a two-part message. So this is the last part. Now, last month, I left off showing how certain groups in this nation have an agenda that is harmful to all of us, and how they are using our love for our children to get us to go along with it. I finished by using a scripture from Proverbs which says, "There is a way that seems right, like it's the right thing to do, but it will end up destroying those that walk in it." This is paraphrasing the scriptures found in Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25. Both of them say the exact same thing. If we will look at all of the things that we do trying to protect our children both now and in the future, you will see that we are doing them more harm than good. Talking about our kids. And most of the time it is because we don't think before we act. The people that are using our kids' future to get us to support them don't really care about the kids. It is all about their agenda that is based primarily on lies and fears so that they can attain and hold on to power. Let's look at, as I mentioned earlier, the effect that they are having on society in the realm of human relationships. There was a time when I was in elementary school, back from 1951 to 1957, where the books we read introduced us to the family. You had the dad that went to work every day to support his wife and two kids. You had the wife that stayed at home to keep the house, cook the meals, and take care of the kids. The primary book that we used was called Fun with Dick and Jane. When we looked at programs on TV, we saw pretty much the exact same thing. In the case of one of my favorites, I Love Lucy, I saw the husband and wife, aside from the comedy of it, in a good relationship. He worked, she stayed home. What was also interesting, looking back at it, you never saw the two of them sleeping in the same bed. There were twin beds, and each slept in their own bed. As children, we didn't know about marital relationships, talking about sex. Then someone got the bright idea that kids could handle learning about sex because a small percentage of our kids were getting in trouble by experimenting with it and ending up getting pregnant or getting VD. They pushed for and got sex education put in the curriculum in the public school system. Most of this was done despite the objections of parents and the church. The idea was supposed to be a deterrent to the problem. That's what the sex education was supposed to be. The result is the problems have more than quadrupled. Why? Because what they were teaching the kids was not to abstain from it, but rather how to go about it safer by using protection. Their reasoning was, kids are going to do it anyway, so we need to teach them how to protect themselves. I don't know about you, but when you give kids a green light to do something that they should not be doing, they are going to do it. And in a lot of instances, when those hormones start raging, who is going to think about stopping to use protection? So a young girl ends up pregnant and has to either have an abortion or have the child. If she has the child, then she will have to find some way to take care of it if the family doesn't want to do it. That is where the abortion rights advocates come in and say that we need abortions to be able to be available to these young girls that may not have family support. The young girl usually will have to drop out of school for a while, if not permanently, which then limits her education, making her a prime candidate for a minimum wage job or government assistance, which is just where these groups want her. That way, she will become dependent on government and their solutions to her problems. As far as the other factor in this issue, the young man, if he stays around, he will be expected to support his child, which he should do. But if he doesn't have a job because he is still in school, what can he do? He will either have to get one, a minimum wage part-time job, drop out and get a full-time job if he can find one, or drop out and run away. All of which makes him more likely to end up being an unproductive member of society and also dependent on government support. The bottom line is, if you dig deep enough into these two groups alone, you will see they are working together for their mutual benefit while destroying the lives of these young people, our children. To them, they are nothing more than a means to an end. All of this because they know which buttons to push to get us to jump the way they want us to. Now, here's one key point I want you to understand. Everything I have mentioned so far are things that God disapproves of. Why? Because they go against what he designed the family relationships to be and how we are supposed to be living our lives. Ask yourself this question: would God bless me even though I continually do, without repenting, things that he says I should not do? The obvious answer to that question is no. Well, if he would not do it for you, then what do you think he will do for a nation that follows that same path? Let me put it another way. What would he do for a nation that wants to have nothing to do with him by rejecting every directive he gives us by proclaiming separation of church and state? The majority of the people in this nation proclaim to be Christians, and most of them understand that if you are going against what God says, there is a price to pay. So, any politician or group that came to you and asked you to support something that you knew was going to put you on the wrong side of God's direction, you would probably say no, right? However, if this same group came to you and said they want your support to help them to put laws in place that would make things better for your children and your children and their children in the future, you would probably say yes. That's what they do to get you to support them, even though historically they really want to get as far away from God, from what God says is right and wrong, as possible. And most of their support comes from Christians. When considering what is best for our kids, the very first thing we need to know is, what does God have to say about the issues and solutions these groups are raising and promoting? What is their end game? The Bible tells us, among other things, that we should be wary of those that call evil good and good evil. Actually, it goes a little deeper than that. Isaiah chapter 5, starting at verse number 20. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and call good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." These groups' agenda and actions hide the fact that they think they know more than God knows about what is good for us and our kids. Everything God says is sin and foolishness they support, usually with scientific facts. Like I mentioned earlier about man-made global warming. Sex education is another one of their romps into the abyss of stupidity. Another one of their trips is this obsession with gay rights. Over the past decade or so, well, you know, naturally, since this was written in 2014, it would be now about 20 years or so ago, instead of the past decade, it was 20 years or so ago. Anyway, over the past 20 years or so, we have seen instances where children, both boys and girls, have been bullied because of what liberal groups call their sexual orientation, meaning boys being attracted to other boys and girls being attracted to other girls. Despite the fact that throughout the entire animal kingdom, and especially by the design of God, there is no such thing as two animals of the same gender being attracted to each other sexually. It goes totally against nature. God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Genesis chapter 1, verse number 22 and verse number 28. Yet scientists, psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists, Dr. Phil, Oprah, and others say, these children are being endangered because of our sensitivity. They're being endangered because of our antiquated religious views on God and sexuality. They say it is normal. And for the sake of these children, those that hold these views need to have some sort of sensitivity training or be made to pay for their ignorance. Now, In order to show their support for these children, schools have started eliminating things that make these children feel uncomfortable. Recent examples of this are the attacks on the Boy Scouts, which essentially forced them to allow boys with these feelings into their organization, or have the support of the school discontinued. I haven't heard that much about the Girl Scouts, but I am sure there is some. The point is, all of this is being done for the sake of these children by what are supposed to be well-meaning people. The problem is, once again, the absolute twisting of the truth and outright lies will in the end cause them more grief and harm. How? By getting them to believe that there is nothing wrong with what they are doing, thus encouraging them to continue in it, they are setting them up for their own destruction because God calls it an abomination. If nothing else, they are destined for hell when they die. Is that what you parents want for your kids? The lie they are being told is God made them the way that they are, so they are a special people with a special calling that the world doesn't understand. Of course, those that don't believe there is a God say, science has found special chromosomes and genes or DNA that predetermines or predisposes the sexual orientation of everyone. Getting back to God for a minute, there are those that say, in the case of boys wanting to be girls, and vice versa, that evidently God made a mistake by putting them into the wrong bodies, thus the need for a sex change. And you think God is going to bless this lunacy? But it is for the kids. We have to do what is best for them. I could go on and on with example after example about how what we claim to be doing to help the future of our children is actually making sure that they never get ahead and will eventually end up living in poverty and dependent on government. And why is this? Because despite what politicians say, despite what the Constitution says, despite what the courts say, it is what God says that counts. As I asked earlier, what do you think God will do when you keep on violating His word? He most certainly is not going to bless us, and since there are only two alternatives, blessing and cursing, then the latter will be served up to us and our children. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. See, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Notice, this is the loving God that most of you worship and believe that he wouldn't do anything that would cause our children to suffer. Yet here he is, telling his people what the consequences of their actions will be. Now here is an interesting bit of information as to how we got into this mess in the first place. The very ones that God has charged with putting this information out and enforcing it are the ones that are falling in lockstep with those people and becoming followers of this devilish foolishness. In other words, they have left God and are now serving the devil. I am talking about preachers that claim to be men and women of God, not all, but indeed most. When you put anyone, and that includes your children, above what God says, you have effectively entered into the realm of idolatry and made them your idols, and he will not stand for it. And as you can see, they, our children, are paying a heavy price for it. They are being gunned down in the streets and schools, dying of diseases that are usually seen in older people, drug overdoses, suicide, accidents, and the like. Love your children most definitely. But love Christ or God first. Well, that's the end of our little two-part message here. And like I say, we have a problem when it comes down to, like I say, dealing with society today, because of our having to interact with ungodliness and with people, especially when it comes down to our kids and sending them to institutions like public schools, where they're being indoctrinated into all sorts of foolishness. And when they get exposed to this stuff, it's hard for a parent to tell them that it is wrong, because the child is going to want to know, well, if it's wrong, why are you sending me to these people for them to teach me this stuff? And then turn around the next minute and tell me that it's wrong and it's bad for me or anything else like that. You know, we have an identity crisis in this country, where, like I said a little earlier, where you know, We're beginning to call those things that are of God, that are supposed to be good, we're beginning to call them evil. And we're beginning to call what is evil good. We're beginning to call what is light darkness, and darkness we're beginning to call it light. Beginning to call what is bitter sweet, and what is sweet bitter. And then it says, woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes or prudent in their own way of thinking. We got a whole lot of people just think that they are the cat's meow when it comes down to how life goes and how things are, and you know, they know the ways to fix problems and so forth, because they've got all this education and stuff like that. And you can't tell them anything. They get out here and implement certain things, get people to implement certain things, and it looks like the thing's gonna work for a while, then it turns around and falls apart. And then they wanna say, well, we just need to do it a little bit more this way. We're not doing enough this way or that way. In other words, rather than admitting that they were wrong, they were saying, well, we didn't go far enough, or we need to go a little bit further, you know, or something along that line. They won't admit that, hey, I was wrong and we need to backtrack and get start over again. That doesn't enter their mind, because in their minds they aren't wrong. It's just that they need to tweak a little something here and tweak a little something there. And all along, all the time, they're just making things worse and worse for themselves and for us and for our children, the ones that they claim that they're supposed to be trying to protect, which they aren't. The only thing they're in it for is for the money and the fame and the power and the glory that they think they're going to get from man. And that's not even going to last that long. But then they got to stand before God, and you know what's going to happen then. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing the message out today. And as in closing, always, I always like to say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.